episode two of the TGUNF off-season, offshoot, spin-off Sarah J. Maas miniseries. Today's episode, we're talking Throne of Glass. Personally, my favorite of the Sarah J. Maas series. Nicole, I think you agreed too, right? Or is Crescent City?
No, I said Crescent City, but I said it was tough because it's Crescent City is not a complete series. City and ACOTAR are not complete series yet, so it's really hard for me to rank them because for all intents and purposes, Throne of Glass is complete.
Right.
So it's like, I don't know how the other ones are going to end. So it's like, they could disappoint me along the way.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like there's still things that are happening.
I mean, at this present moment.
At this present moment, I think Crescent City is my favorite just because I find myself rereading it more than I found myself wanting to reread Throne of Glass.
Got it. Well, before we get too much into it, we want to introduce, as we said, we're having friends of the pod on each of these episodes, as we talked about in our Court of Thorns and Roses episode. Nicole and I are part of a big group of people that all read these books kind of at the same time and have amassed an even larger group of people in a group chat that just only talk about Sarah J. Maas books exclusively. And so we thought, why not spread the love and have people join us on these episodes with us to get varying opinions. So we're very excited to introduce our friend Sam Patel to the pod. She's here to talk about Throne of Glass with us. Sam, thank you for being here.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm so excited to be here. Could really talk about the Sarah J. Maas cinematic universe for an indefinite amount of time.
Same.
Yeah. Literally, this is like,
why we're doing this.
Yeah.
Like the episode we did the other day was probably the most natural podcast episode Nicole and I have ever recorded because it was like truly just a daily conversation between us. So feeling really good about this. Okay, so I mean, that leads me into my first question for Sam, which is, Sam, can you rank your Sarah J. Maas series from your favorite to your least favorite?
Yes.
I guess there's not really a least favorite because you love
that. Yeah, there's definitely not a least favorite because I love them all so much and like for different reasons. Mm-hmm. So it's very hard. I think each of them does like particular things very well. So it's very hard it's very hard to do, but I do think Throne of Glass is my favorite. And again, it's hard because it is the only completed one, but I just think the characters in Throne of Glass are so well written and so just like near and dear to my heart. And yeah, I just, the whole story and the arcs and the like journeys that the various characters go on, like she just set it up so well, the world building. Yeah. So I would go Throne of Glass first, Crescent City very, very close second. And like, again, these could shift after the new book comes out. And then ACOTAR is at the bottom, which ACOTAR is the one that I read first, obviously, like most people, I would say. And I do really love it, but yeah, the characters in Throne of Glass just like really put over the top for me.
Same. It's like, it's crazy to me when I think about it, because I'm like, I cannot believe this was her first series. And it was her best work. However, I do think because it was her first series, she obviously had a lot longer to work on it and like had probably been working on it for so long that she could really like, she didn't have like an editor really breathing down her neck to be like, the people need more, the people need another book, like let's hurry it along, let's like, it was just like she kind of could take her time with like the story, even though I'm sure after like a book or two that pressure started to happen, but like at least she probably in her brain had more of an idea of where things were going. I feel like that's probably why, but I'm like, I cannot believe this is her first series because it's so fucking good.
I know.
It's so good.
I imagine for like maybe some of the later series, there's more pressure to be like, this has to be different from what you've already written. And if it's your first series, you don't have to think like, is this too similar to X, Y, and Z? Is this character too similar? Is this magic system?
Yeah.
There's too much overlap.
I also feel like Throne of Glass is her most unique series. Like, I feel like when you read ACOTAR, obviously she used a lot of like fairy tales to guide yeah. like the storylines. Yeah. And I just feel like Throne of Glass is just so uniquely her yeah. and is like yeah. she came up with every piece of it. And it was harder for me to really like be like, oh, okay, well, you know, Akatar, you know, the first one, this is not a spoiler, but like is like Beauty and the Beast themed. And so like mm-hmm. I can kind of feel like where I know where this is going. But like with Throne of Glass, I felt like I didn't have that really guiding me as much. And so I was just like, wow, I'm like along for the ride and I have like no idea what's going to happen.
Yeah. yeah. No, yeah. I feel that. I feel that really deeply. And I think, I mean, yeah, she started writing them at 16.
That is wild.
Which is crazy that she's.
I mean, I can see that though, because book one is very teen hormone.
Yeah.
She's fair, like, fair. I can't really choose like brooding prince or yeah, like noble guard.
Yeah. And it does she make doing, sense.
It was big, The Summer I Turned Pretty vibes. Like,
first yes, book. Yes, yes. Yes. And I do think it does make sense when you think about, like, I don't know. I feel like in a lot of other, especially like fantasy romance books, you have just kind of like the one person that they're with, and that's like who they're with throughout the whole series. And so thinking about her being 16 and kind of writing like these different love interests and that kind of evolving and yeah. who she's picking for the main character, like along with it yeah. makes yeah. sense because it's like, you're seeing her also kind of grow up as she's yeah. writing them.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. She very much like grew up with Selena.
Yeah.
And like, I feel like she like then came into her own like Aelin powers as Selena yeah. did and was like, okay, we're going to be yeah. making adult decisions now yes. and going with the person that makes the most sense for us. I told Nick that I think Throne of Glass is going to be his favorite.
Okay.
Oh, interesting.
I think that it is the most – I mean, I think it's her most well-rounded series, but I also yeah. think that, like, it's the most action-packed throughout yeah. each
As
book.
Someone who his favorite book was Aquawar, yeah, I totally
– Yeah. Like, he's reading Crescent City 2 right now, and he's like, I'm bored. He's like, yeah. every one of these books, he's like, I finish it, and I'm like, that's a great book, but it – probably could have been 300 pages shorter. Like, he's like, he like really wants it to be like action packed. And I feel like the Throne of Glass series is very good at like hooking you in the beginning and like things are just happening. Like, there's not really any point where I'm like, this feels like fluff, which I don't feel like any of the books have yeah. that because I'm like, I'm into it. I could read, like, if fucking Selena decided to read the phone book, I would read yes. it. Like, if yeah. like if she wrote down a phone book and was like, here's yeah. every member of Adderlin, like, I'd be like, okay, cool, I'll read that whole thing, and I'd be like psyched about it. Yeah. But yeah. for Nick, I'm like, I think you're gonna like it. It's also way less romance based. Like, yeah, there obviously is a lot of love in yeah. it, but I feel like the overarching story and like adventure is like the main plot.
I think that Crescent City feels like mystery with like romance and fantasy in it, and Akatar feels like a romance that's like set in a fantasy setting.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Throne of Glass feels like a true fantasy series. You have some of the other stuff in it, but that is like at its core, I feel like a yeah. true fantasy series.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
I agree.
Totally agree. So I'm like, I think he's gonna like that one the best. So I'm like really excited for him to get to. He's like, really? I feel like from what I like have heard, it would be my least favorite. And I was like, no, I think this is gonna be like your favorite series. Like, you're gonna
I see what you're saying, and I do. I agree with that.
Yeah. Okay. Big we're gonna go right for the elephant in the room, right for the big controversial topic. The reading order of Throne of Glass.
I feel like we've talked about this and we have very different feelings on the reading order.
It's a big topic of conversation yes. in like the fandom as a whole. It's yes. like been this big controversy of where do you read Assassin's Blade? Where do you read, how do you read Tower of Dawn, Empire of Storms? And like, I think those are like the two biggest things. We finally have an answer from Sarah J. Maas on her recommended order. But Sam, would love to hear from you, like, what your recommended order is. Because if you just said we have conflicting thoughts, I need to know.
Okay. Well, I think that the way that I read it first with Assassin's Blade is I read Throne of Glass, Crown of Midnight, Air of Fire, and then I think I read Assassin's Blade after that.
Because you read it fourth.
Yeah, that feels right. And I think I felt good about that because I was like, you're learning about all these characters, right, that are just about to come back into the story. Mm-hmm. And then the arc that you go on with, like, Arabin, mm-hmm. I think that's, like, such a punch because you have a really good sense of, like, who Sam was to her, who Arabin was to her, like, why she needs to spend all of that time kind of focusing on him and, like, taking him down because it does feel, in some ways, I think it can feel secondary to, like, this other overarching story of, like, the king and, like, all these other kind of major evil powers that I think if you don't have a good sense of, like, why emotionally it's so important for her to, like, take him down first. So I think it's nice to have it right before that.
Mm-hmm.
And then I didn't do this the first time that I read the series, but I did it the second time. And I think this is maybe kind of a hot take, but then I say, so then you do Queen of Shadows. Then I think that you should read Tower of Dawn, then read Empire of Storms, and then you can go right into Kingdom of Ash, which I'm pretty sure if you do it that way, there are some like gentle spoilers. But I do think Tower of Dawn is good. And yeah. I think it's really hard to appreciate Tower of Dawn if you are just like caught up in the story and wanting to get back to the main story. Yeah. And I think if you finish Empire of Storms, you have no desire to know like what Kale is doing. Yeah. And you're just because like,
Empire of Storms leaves on such a cliffhanger that you're like, okay, fuck me. Now I have to go read Kale.
Exactly. And I think the best way to enjoy and appreciate Tower of Dawn is to just have it be its own thing and not have it be competing with the main story because it's never going to stand up to the main story.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You can read it on its own.
But there's so much valuable information in that book.
I really liked Tower of Dawn. I think that's my biggest like SJM red flag is that like I loved Tower of Dawn. Like I thought it was a really good book.
I liked it too. I think people give it a lot of shit for no reason.
Yes.
And because they're genuine Kale haters. And like I can understand where the Kale hate comes from. But genuinely, like, I read it, Empire of Storms, then Tower of Dawn.
So did I.
I simply didn't have the power in me to tandem read.
No.
Absolutely not. If you can tandem read, that is, like, more power to you. I could never.
Yeah, I've never
That's too much effort for me.
No, too much effort. And so after Kate and I finished, and then Carly was reading it, we were like, well, you should probably read Tower of Dawn before Empire of Storms, especially because Carly had given us feedback that she wasn't really a big Kale guy.
Yeah.
And so we were like, all right, read Tower of Dawn before you go into Empire of Storms, because then you'll be able to just like get into Kingdom of Ash and like really not be taken out. And that's my opinion on Assassin's Blade being third instead of fourth.
Yeah.
Because
I am a hard Assassin's Blade third proponent. Yeah,
because I just genuinely was like, all right, I've read Air of Fire now. Now I'm invested in Rowan and Aelin and like their journey back to Rifthold. Mm-hmm. And I simply don't care about Sam.
Yeah.
Like I was just like, he's a little relevant, but like he's dead. I know he's dead. Like we're moving on. Like I know Rowan's her mate. Like I just simply don't care anymore.
Yeah.
And so it was like, it honestly took me 2 months to read Assassin's Blade.
Wow.
Because I just was like, all right, I'm so not invested in this storyline anymore.
Yeah.
It just felt a little, like, too little too late. Like, I'm like, now I'm so far gone from, like, when she was this assassin that I'm like, I would never have been able to do it. But, like, if you read it third, I think it's, like, the perfect time because I feel like you can very much tell there's, like, it's, like, a new chapter of the story. Like there's the first two books, which are very much like King's Champion. Like she's there, she's in the castle, she's doing all of that. And then the third book is like, I feel like at the end of two, you're like, okay, I can tell that this is like we're about to up level and we're going into like a new like part of this like world. And so I feel like that's a good point to like go back and be like, okay, well, how did we get here? But I don't think I would ever recommend reading Assassin's Blade first, because I feel like you would just be thrown in and be like, who the fuck is this person? Where I think you need to like get invested in her and like 100%. Who she is and her like life now, that then you're like, okay, now I want to read. That's why prequels are a thing. That's why prequels always come out after the main movie. Like,
I also struggle too, because I think it's hard to get into a prequel like that where it just feels like there's not any stakes. You know what I mean? Like, you obviously know nothing's gonna happen to her. You know Sam's gonna die.
Yeah.
So it's just, it's hard to really feel invested, because I'm just like, there's no stakes.
I think that was the problem with me too. I was like, I couldn't see the forest through the trees through the forest, whatever the saying is, because I was like, I don't see how this is fitting in at this point in time, right? Yeah. Like, you see, go to Silent Assassins and you like go to Pirates Bay, and like, obviously that all becomes like so important at the end, in the last couple of books. But at that point, I'm like, I don't care.
Yeah.
I don't care. Yeah. And only when I got to the point where like all of those people showed up on the beach after Aelin had been taken, then you're like, all right, I see the value. Because I would be annoyed if I hadn't read it and then read that part of the book, and I'd be like, who the fuck are these people? Like, who are you people? And why are you here? Why are you important?
That's why reading it third is good, because you haven't then gotten into like all of the Rowan and like Maeve and like this bigger thing. It just feels like a good point where you're like, okay, well, I don't really have any expectations, and I'm not really like nothing. It didn't really leave me at too much of a cliffhanger, so I'm good to like go into this other thing before I get back into it. However, I will say my take on Tower of Dawn, I probably would, for Nick, I'll recommend him reading Tower of Dawn in the way that you said, Nicole, prior to Empire of Storms. I read it after, and I really liked that.
I did too. I don't think I had an opinion, but I'm not too much of a Kale hater, like, especially at that point. Like, I was like, I loved the book so much, so I was like eager to read another book. Yeah, so like, it didn't matter to me. Yeah. But some people like really hate Kale. So like, I think that it's also fine, because it also,
it was fun to like read that and be like, oh my god, Selena would never go to Pirates Bay. Like, she wouldn't be that stupid. And I'm like, hey, but she did. Yeah. That's crazy. And like, those things were like kind of fun to like go back a little bit and be like, okay, what was happening? And like, what's he learning? And being like, oh my god, I wish that like they were together, or like they could go, because like this knowledge he's getting would have been so helpful there. And like, you just know, I also felt like for me, I was like racing through these books. Like, I was racing through them. And at the end of Empire of Storms, I was like, oh my God. And I think that if I had done Kingdom of Ash right after Empire of Storms, I would have finished it so quickly, and I would have like not appreciated it as much, where I'm glad I almost had like a break in between to be like, holy shit, that cliffhanger, I'm thinking about it, like, what's going to happen. And then I went back to Tower of Dawn, and it just felt like a nice like pause to like appreciate, learn more. And then I was like so psyched to get into Kingdom of Ash, because I was like, okay, now we're back in it. And I felt like I didn't like, I feel like it was like savoring your dinner. Like, you don't want to eat your dinner too fast and be like, damn, I ate all the good stuff and now it's gone, and like, I'm done. Like, Patrick, bar of chocolate, I think I'll eat it now, but he already ate it. That would have been me about Kingdom of Ash if I had read it right after Empire of Storms. I need, I think, like, a rest.
It does depend on like how fast you're reading and how fast you're getting through the books. Because I think if you're a slower reader, or you're struggling to get through the books, then I do think like you maybe struggle to get through Tower of Dawn more, and so it feels harder and more daunting. But if you're like all in, it doesn't matter as much, because like, you're just excited to like be in the universe, and you're just like, yeah, I'll be happy to get more of this, you know?
Yeah. Exactly. That's why I'm like, I think I'll tell Nick to read Tower of Dawn first, because I think once like Kale and Nezrin leave and like Dorian sends him away, then I'll be like, okay, just go read about it, because it's top of mind. Yeah. So it doesn't feel as like out of place. So read that. Cause then once you get to end of Empire of Storms, you're going to need that to like just keep going. So I think that's what I would recommend for some people, but like, I really liked it the opposite way just for myself. Selfishly.
I think too, by the time you read Tower of Dawn, like, you know, you've already seen like Aelin and Rowan have been like in love already for a while. So I was like, another enemies to lovers arc, because the best part is watching them, like, is watching the characters like fall in love and move through that. And like, you know, once they're already together, it's kind of like, okay. So I was like, okay, I'm ready for another one. Like,
And you get a twofer. You get a twofer in Tower of Dawn, because you get Kale and what's her name?
Nezrin and Sartak.
Yeah. Kale and Irene and Nezrin and Sartak. Like, I'm like, a twofer. How fun. Like, I loved it.
I like Tower of Dawn because, again, I'm someone who really loves world building. Like, I love understanding how things
work. You and I are the same in that. Like, we love to know things.
Which is my, which was my beef with Fourth Wing, because I felt like she didn't do any world building. But that's why I liked Tower of Dawn, because I got to know so much of, like, how the Velg arrived, and, like, how they were walking through worlds, and, like, how, like, all of the lore of, like, you know, the history. And so, like, I enjoyed that part. And, like, she the, not the wing leader, the, who's, the, not the den mother. What was her title? Sartek's, like, storyteller.
Something mother, like,
I don't remember. But like, she's
wing leader in Denmark.
I knew that this was like
crossing.
You know what I mean.
I know what you meant. Yeah.
And I can't remember her name, but like, her kind of recounting the stories of old, and like, being that someone who kind of has the history, and I was like, okay, like, this is so interesting to me.
Any part in a book series, like, where a character is doing research, I'm, like, so locked in. I'm like, they're doing research, so I'm doing research. Like, I'm about to learn some shit right now. Like, I love a research scene.
Yeah.
You just know you're about to learn a lot, and I'm, like, locked in on what they're learning.
I think, too, like, something that I really appreciate about Sarah J. Maas is, like, I think she's able to write about, like, trauma and like relationships being like a lifeline out of trauma. And I think that's so much of what, like, I think that's why I love Silver Flame so much. And I think that that's really well done in Tower of Dawn. And like, watching Kale go on that journey is just so rewarding and such a beautiful story. So I love that. And like, every time she's gonna really like have the time to delve into that, I think I really do appreciate it.
Yeah, I agree.
Before we go too much further, I just want to get one thing out of the way, which is pronunciations. Okay. How are we agreeing on saying names in here? Are we saying Kale? Because I call him Cole.
You call him Cole?
Yeah, she does.
I can't do Kale. It reminds me of Salad Fingers. Like, if I call him Kale, in my brain, it's Salad Fingers doing everything.
Oh, I call him Kale.
It's Kale.
Well, technically, it's like Kale. So it's like a combo.
Kind of how I say it, I think, like, just not as emphasized, but I say, like,
Kale.
I am saying Kale, but I'm saying it closer
to Miguel. I just remove the A. I'm like, I can't call him Kale.
My sister thought it was Chowl, which is so jarring to me.
I think in my head when I first started reading it, I was like, Chowl. And then I was like, that's simply not right. And then I was like, all right, I saw a TikTok and someone was like, Kale. And I was like, okay.
Yeah, I feel like I follow a lot of like cosplayers that make like little reels and TikToks. So I think I also heard them saying it enough that I was just like, oh, this is how it is.
In my brain, it switches between.
This is the whole reason why my deep dive for TG1F fans, my journey into understanding who Salad Fingers is because Kate... We were talking about Throne Glass, and she was like, oh my god, he reminds me of Salad Fingers. And I was like, I have no idea who the fuck that is.
She was like, who? And I was like, let me tell you. And then, I feel like Selena is easy.
Selena,
people are always asking how to pronounce that. And, like, just, like, Selena Gomez. I don't know. And
then some people are like, Selena. But it's like, no.
Some people do a hard C, and I'm like, no. Simply no.
Kalina?
No. Yeah.
Kalina? No, that's not it.
That is so...
Kale and Kalina. My least favorite, though, is the kingdom and how it's actually pronounced Otterland. I hate it.
Yeah. Otterland.
That's how it's, like, canonically said.
Yeah, in the audiobook.
I say Adarlin.
Me too. I think I say like Adarlin. Like Adarlin.
You say Adarlin.
That's so weird.
Adarlin? I hate Adarlin. When Nicole told me that and I was like, nope.
That. No.
I just respectfully, no.
Respectfully, I know best in this situation and that's not best.
Sam ran the numbers.
I actually ran the numbers and it's actually best if I don't say that.
That's me about Kale. I'm like, I can't, I simply.
Okay, so we're all on different pronunciations, whatever our heart wants.
Whatever our heart wants. So if anyone listening to this episode hears any of those names, that's what we're referring to.
That's where we're at. Oh my God.
Nicole, I'll start with you. Who are your top three favorite characters in the series?
Top three. Obviously, got to go with my girl, Aelin.
Yeah.
Easy. And then also really love Manon.
Oh, that's another one because I say Manon.
I did too for a long time. And then I watched Ladybug and Cat Noir. And her name is Manon.
Uh-huh.
And so I was like, okay, it's
Manon. And they're French, and they're so French. They would know.
Yeah. So, but I also did say Manon for a while. But
I'm just white American, so it's Manon to me.
Manon. And then, honestly, kind of wild card, Lorkin.
I was going to say,
I love Lorkin. I just love him and Elodie.
Elodie, something like that.
Elite? I do think it's Elodie. I always say Elodie in my
head. Yeah, yeah. They're like one of my favorite couples in the book. And like,
we love a mysterious, dark powered man. That we know nothing about.
I love, like, I eat that shit up every time. So,
oh my God.
I love him.
Okay, two of my favorite characters, same as yours, Aelin, like, obviously, like, it is so tough. Like, I just do not fuck with Farrah on that level at all. And Aelin is such, like, a bad bitch, like, main character.
Yeah.
Who still feels like flawed and realistic, mm-hmm. and
but not in an annoying way.
Not in a way either where I'm like, you know, she's just all powerful and she doesn't have to do anything wrong. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like she feels like a fully dimensional character to me.
Yeah.
So yeah, obviously Aelin. Kind of my also like wild card, like wish that we had more from him is Fenris. Love him. Yeah. I like his relationship with his brother, like her being with him while they're being tortured. Yeah. Like, I just think that he is such an interesting character and I like wish that we had more from him. And then Manon, which I say that because I think of The Craft. You ever seen The Craft?
Seen it,
no. Oh, okay. Great movie. But that's like the spirit that they're praying to. They're like, we have invoked the spirit of Manon. Which is like, and they're all witches. Yeah. So I'm like, oh, it's men. Mm. I know Sarah J. Maas has watched The Craft.
Yeah,
like,
for sure.
Without a doubt in my mind, I know that she has watched it. But yeah, I mean, I love the redemption arc that she goes on, the relationships, and Manorian is my like one true pairing.
OTP.
So fucking hot. Like, I can't even.
When he uses his powers to like, hold her in place. I'm like, please.
The shadow hands.
The shadow hands.
Please. I'm like,
the
stop.
Shadow hands. And just like the fact that they're both like.
Hello, witchling. Hello, princeling.
Yes. Like they're both like can stand up to each other in a way that is really hot to me and like really works for me. And I like that he challenges her without trying to dominate her. And I just think that their energies are just, it's so good. It's so good. Yeah. That's me.
I'm going to go obviously Aelin, which is crazy for me because I am notoriously never a fan of a main character. Like,
really?
Ever. Like, I mean, Harry Potter, Harry's my least favorite character. Like, Lord of the Rings, Frodo's obviously my least favorite character. Like, any series where there's, like, a main character, I'm never a huge fan of them. Like I'll be a fan, but like they're not my favorite. Like I like prefer other characters. So big for me to like love Aelin as much as I do. So like great for Sarah J. Maas. She created a really good main character. So Aelin, I love Lysandra so much.
Yes.
I love her.
Yes.
I love a bitchy bitch that just is like, actually psych. I wasn't actually that bad the whole time. I wanted to be your friend the whole time, but I thought you hated me, so I decided to hate you.
That is such a good friendship that she has written there also.
Yeah. Yes. Like,
because that's so real, right? You know what I mean?
When like, a man pits you against each other, and so you like, and then you're like, why the fuck did we let that man make us enemies?
And I think we all, as women, have had like those friendships, especially when you're younger, where you're like, I was just really competitive. And then you kind of grow the fuck up and you're like, oh, actually, like I was never in competition with this person and we could have been friends.
Yeah.
And when Aelin gives her Caravar, another one that I couldn't tell you what the right way to pronounce it.
She becomes the lady.
Whenever she like, when she gives it to her and she's like, I'm not worthy. And she was like, you are the one who's like been here with me, had my, like, that part makes me cry every time.
And then when she's just like, and then, like when she is like, Arabin's your kill. Like, I have a lot of, like, that was so big of her.
Because
she legitimately betrayed me and murdered the love of my life at that point.
Yeah.
And that's like horrible. Like everything that Arabin did to Aelin was like so bad. Like literally found her and was just like, I'm going to actually use the shit out of you because I know who you actually are. And so like he just brought her up in like just such a selfish way. But for her to look at Lysandra and be like, he's yours. You kill him because he actually did worse. You like, oh. And I just can't. That part is like so good to me. And then I am going to say my wild card. I would say Lorcan. He's probably like close fourth for me. Like I love a mysterious like shadow daddy. Like someone I'm just like, I don't know shit about you, but you have some weird dark death power. And like I'm so into it. Like I don't know what that is. But I think it's actually Adian, which I think is a hot take.
Okay. It is a hot take.
It's a hot take because people are like not into him at all. But I think that he is. So I'm also a Kale apologist. And I'll say Kale because I know we're all here.
Same,
I'm a Kale apologist. I was Team Kale from the beginning. Sure. And I think that like both of them are just like extremely loyal and don't really know what to do when that loyalty is like challenged or when something new comes in. And I think like they're like blindly
born and bred to be that type of loyal though. Like they didn't really have any optionality to not be that way, you know?
Yeah. So and like Adian was like, I have sacrificed
everything
so much.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So anyways, I think Adian like gave up everything and was like, oh, pretending to give up on Terrasen and turn his back on his people and become the king's like pet and do whatever like the king wanted when and like people hated him for it. Like, you're such a traitor. And so I think then for like when he was mad at Aelin for things, it was just because he didn't understand. He was just like so ingrained with like being loyal. And then when he was like upset with Lysandra, I feel like it was just like a big like traitorous thing. And I think that if he had been in the know on the plan, it would have been so
also
different.
Like a betrayal for him.
Yeah.
And also like when he learns that like other people have taken the blood oath.
Yes.
And like he hasn't gotten right. Like I feel like there were just dominoes stacked against him that were just like
kind of. It was like the straw that broke the camel's back was that Aelin didn't trust him enough to tell him the plan. And, like, let him, like, protect her or, like, have his say. Like, I don't even think that he believes he would have been able to talk her out of it. I think he just wanted a chance to. And I don't think that's a bad thing.
And I think that that was such a good, like, that felt very true to both of their characters, right? Like, Aelin, because of the circumstances that she was in, like, she was very, like, I have to handle all of this on my own and I can't talk. I can't burden other people. Like, it makes sense.
Yeah.
Her motivations make sense and she's not wrong for that.
Yeah.
And like, he's not wrong for being like, I want to work with you on this. Like, please bring me in. Like, yeah. Please talk to me. Like, he's not wrong for that either. Yeah. They just see it differently. And that felt like a very true to their characters, very yeah. real conflict of, like, how they would handle this differently. And, yeah. I mean, yeah, I think I loved him up until Kingdom of Ash.
The Lysandra of it all.
And I kind of wish that, I think she almost, like, went a little bit too hard.
Yeah.
And it was too jarring to then, like, pull back and be like, okay, it wasn't. Like, it makes sense that he would be mad. It makes sense that he would channel, like, his anger at Aelin into her and his anger at not being part of it. It just was almost like it was too harsh. It was too yeah. much. And it went on throwing her long. Out in the snow and she's only got the blanket. Yeah. Like,
I know. I was like, dude.
It's she's too vulnerable. Yeah. So, yeah. But I think
it's really tough for me that the two of them are two of my favorite characters because I'm like, ooh, like, child of divorce. Yeah. Whose side am I on right now?
Yeah.
But I feel like that also helped me because I was like, okay, like, they're both my favorite and I know that they're going to get through this.
Yeah.
But I feel like that way about Kale too, because a lot of people were like, Kale sucks and Kale is like not just jumping on the rebel board, like rebel train. And I'm like, well, what do you mean? Like, he literally, this is like the only thing he's ever done. Like, it's not that easy for him to just like turn his back and be like, okay, I'll be in the rebellion. Like, sounds good.
I'll tell you this. I was very annoyed with Kale when he was so mad at Aelin for keeping that secret. And he's like, I don't know if I can trust you. Like, I don't know who to believe. And I'm like, bro, like, be fucking for real right now. Like, that is someone that you helped save. That is someone that you've been in the trenches with. Like, the only part of this that she lied about was, like, who she has been. Like,
right.
Mad at her about, like, he couldn't look at her the same after he watched her actually assassinate someone when he, like, knew she was an assassin. I'm like, bro, grow up.
But I think, too, like, that was also very true to his character. Yeah. And, like, I think a good reason why, like, it would be hard for them to, like, make it work. You know what I mean? Even though they really wanted it to. But, I mean, I think if he had just immediately turned tail and been like, okay, I'm down with the rebels, like, that wouldn't have been, like, realistic.
Yeah. I've been like, that's not him. Like,
and he kind of gave up his birthright to be in charge of NEL to go and be there and work with, you know, be there with Dorian. And so, of course, he's not going to just like that.
Right.
Okay. Question. In the first two books or first book or so, were you shipping Dorian and Celaena or Kale and Celaena?
I was always Kale and Celaena. Okay. Which, like, I love Dorian, but in the first book, like, he has so much more of a journey to go on. And in the first book, I don't think he's, like, that likable. Yeah. I mean, he's fine, but he's just, like, this idiot fuckboy prince that, like, doesn't give a shit about anybody. And it's just so clear, I think, from the first book that, like, it's going to be her and Kale, you know?
Yeah.
I was always Team Kale.
I was Team Kale for a little bit, and then I got annoyed at him, and then I was like, all right, well, I could see her with Dorian. But the most unhinged is that when my sister started reading this book, she's like, oh my God, I can't wait for them to kiss. And I said, who? And she goes, Celaena and Cain. She goes, I'm sensing enemies to lovers.
Wellness check. Wellness check.
Daniela.
She was like, yeah, like, Celaena and Cain, like, it's going to be enemies to lovers, right? Like, I see it happening.
You're like, you mean Kale, right?
That has floored me. That has floored me.
It was truly, like, it was so funny. And then when she put in the group chat, like, Kaylee started reading, she's like, and Kaylee was, like, talking about Chippy. She's like, the unhinged ship is not as unhinged as mine was.
No, not at all.
And for anyone who might not remember, Cain is the guy who is in the championship battle with her.
He's literally possessed by
his Valg. And then Kale kills him at the end, and he's trying to kill Celaena. So.
Which also, obviously, that's why I'm Team Kale, because my guy fucking did the thing and actually, like, saved
her. Yeah. So that was the funniest text you received. Where I was like, terrible. That is so left field.
I cannot.
I'm kind of obsessed with that, though.
And if he's real, like,
I want to go back and read book one now through that lens and be like, try to pick, just be like, try to put myself in the point of view to be able to see that.
You know what? Like, there is that one scene where they're training and it's kind of giving, I kept thinking of like Hunger Games, where they're training and she's kind of holding back. Mm-hmm. And he's like, I know that you're holding back. Like, I could see it. I could see it.
I'm dead.
He sees her. He sees right through her. They see right through me. Kate sees right through her. I'm with you, Danielle.
Minds have been changed here today.
Minds have been changed. The OTP is now Selena and Kane.
If not, there should be.
I'm going to Google right now. Next question.
Well, I'm going to skip to one now that we're kind of talking about Aelin and all the men in her life that she may, like, it's a will they, won't they kind of thing. So thoughts on Arabin in the first book, because she was like basically in love with him a little bit in a Stockholm syndrome kind of way.
Yeah.
Like she wanted him to want her, and that's why she hated Lysandra so much, because he like favored Lysandra and like, and I, did you know, like, what did you think about him at first? And like, did you guess that he was the one that like sold her out? Or like, I feel like that was like a big reveal, was like that it was actually him. I don't even remember really how I felt about him. And I think I kept going back and forth on whether I was like, do I think that he actually really likes her? Do I think he was using her? I like could not decide.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, I always thought he was like shiesty as fuck. I was like from jump, like, I always pictured him as Littlefinger from Game of Thrones. So I feel like because I had that in my mind, and I was like, he's in love with her like he was in love with Sansa, whereas like he was in love with her, but he also really wanted to like possess and manipulate her. So I think once I had that in my head,
that's a good comparison.
I was always like, he is bad news, creepy, creepy, weird, bad. Yeah. That's so interesting that you, I did not see it at all. But she definitely, you're totally right. She did want him to.
It was a very Stockholm syndrome kind of thing where she's like, he's like the only person that's ever like shown me any sort of affection. And I was his favorite. And he would like, he prioritized me and bought me gifts and made me feel special and made me feel like loved. But always like kept her at a, like a little bit of a distance. So it was very much like a tormentor kind of thing where she like wanted him to want her. Yeah. And that's like the only reason she liked him. But I felt like his story arc was very satisfying. And like, I enjoyed it because I also felt like he was probably the only person in the series that was ever like a step ahead of her. And it was really, really fun to, like, uncover, like, all of the plots that she did and her being, like, surprise, I'm 10 steps ahead of you and, like, had these, like, master plots. Like, I feel like she was doing heists all over the place and I was just like, she's a genius. But I feel like he was only – the only one that could ever, like, do that to her. And so that was really fun to watch and just be like, holy shit, this person is, like – I can tell that he trained her because all of her tricks – are his, and he's he can do them better because he didn't train her all the way.
Yeah,
it was very satisfying.
Yeah. Okay, someone asked us just like referring to the first couple of books, but someone goes, what about Mort, the little guy on the door? What happened to him when the castle fell? He just went away. And I'm like, oh my god, what did happen to Mort?
Not a thought that I had a single time. Never crossed my mind. He was
obsessed with someone being like, what happened to Mort? Like, is he just chilling under the, like, the fallen castle? Like, he's just like, all right.
I think in the end, Aelin went back for him, and now he lives in the Terrasen castle.
Yeah.
I feel that that's canon at some point.
Yeah, he's just, like, laying under the rubble, and he's pissed.
Yeah. Hello.
Like, I'm fine, but, like,
ultimately,
somebody come fix this. Like,
Yeah,
I love that. Dead.
I was like, this is my favorite question anyone asked because hysterical. Mort was like a great character for those first couple of books. Like, I loved
him. Far enough, like, underground in the little, like, tunnels that he was not crashing. Yeah. Down.
Yeah. Did you guys?
I mean, presumably Dorian and Manon go back to Otterland and rebuild.
Well, that's a very interesting question, isn't it?
Presumably. Presumably. So maybe the castle is not broken anymore and it's been repaired and Mort lives happily ever after.
And it's mostly just the glass part of the castle, right? So the whole part of the castle is still fine too. So
Let's hope. For Mort's sake. Did you guys guess that Selena was Aelin? And like when did you guess it? Or did you find out like when
I was spoiled.
I mean
I went in knowing, which is sad to me.
The hard part is that I had been on the SJM universe enough to know that Aelin was the main character of this series.
Yeah, me too.
I was like, why are we reading about Selena? And then we get a little bit of background where they're like, oh, like Aelin's building an army, and I'm like, okay, this is Aelin. Like very clearly, like this is going to be Aelin. Yeah. And so I was still excited when it got like revealed, but ultimately I knew that that's who she was.
Yeah. Yeah. I went in being spoiled, which is
bummer.
Such a bummer because I've now like watched friends go through the process of reading it having and not no be spoiled. And I'm so jealous because I'm like, wow, like what a fun plot twist to like get to experience that.
Yeah.
I'm very envious.
I was like half and half. Like I knew that Aelin was the main character because I had seen enough of like, of like the fan art of like the three main characters, like Pharah, Bryce, and Aelin. And so, and I like saw what the fan art looked like and I was like, that kind of looks like Selena. But I feel like I was like willfully ignorant. Like I was like, I'm mentally not going to let myself go there and I'm just going to have fun reading these and see what happens. But she did kind of throw me off when they said that Aelin was building this army and Selena was like, oh my God, really? Because I was like, well, she's clearly not building an army. She's like fucking battling it out in this King's Championship thing. Yeah. And so I was like, oh, maybe like Selena is going to end up being like her general or like something like that. And so I was like, I think I knew that she was probably going to be Aelin, but I was just kind of like, I'm just going to have fun with this and let it come to me when it comes. And maybe it's her and maybe it's not. Like I was just like letting myself be
in
the dark. Okay. We're going to go back to one of Nicole's favorites, Lorcan. We have a couple things to talk about with Lorcan. Number one, where do we think his power comes from? Because it's never really discussed. And even he was like, my power comes from the god of death. But then he's like, but does it? And I'm just like, it feels very question mark.
Yeah, I feel like I don't really know. Because it's also like, because what's his name looks over Lorcan, which is where he gets his power from. Yes. And then Aneith or whatever her name is looks over Elide.
And they're
kissing.
Consorts.
Yeah, and they're both kind of kissing one another.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, it only makes sense, but it's the whole magic system for, like, them. Like, is he technically Fae? He's not technically Fae, is he?
Yeah. I don't think that they technically know what he is.
Yeah.
I think what it is.
Yeah, I guess
they're like, we don't really know.
Not technically, I don't think.
No, because he doesn't have pointy ears.
Yeah.
So I don't really know, like, what his business is.
But is everyone else in the cadre Fae? No, isn't he? Doesn't he have to?
He has to be because Maeve was queen of the Fae. Right. And that's what he was.
So maybe, I feel like maybe he is, and it's just not talked about, like, explicitly. Because I feel like everyone in her cadre has to be Fae because she's queen of the Fae.
Yeah, that's what I think, too. But I don't think we know where he came from. Like, I think he might have been, like, some sort of,
Demi-Fae.
Like,
okay. Demi-Fae.
Demi-Fae.
Mix of Fae and human.
Okay.
Demi-Fae are generally seen as lesser and not welcomed in
The thing is, like, he was always, like, lesser. But because he was so powerful, that's how he, like, rose up the ranks to be part of Maeve's cadre. But I do think it's interesting, like, his power is death, but, like, there's times when he uses it in these other ways, right? Like, when he's using the power to, like, stabilize her ankle, or, like, he's using it in these ways that, like, have nothing to do with death.
Yeah, and I'm like, is it death? Because that was the easiest thing for them to just assume. Yes. Since most of their powers come from the gods. Or they think that most of their powers come from the gods. I don't know. But, like, is it something different that gives him power? Is it something that maybe Maeve knew what his power was, but she didn't tell anyone, but that's why she wanted him in, like, the crew? I don't know. Yeah. It just is, like, it doesn't feel –
yeah.
Because there was the one point that he, like, questioned it, and he was like, I'm praying to the god that looks over me, but, like, they're not answering, so was it even that god that's ever been answering me?
Yeah.
And I'm like, I don't know.
But again, those gods were not technically of that world anyway. So, like, where is, like, the truth on that?
Right.
Right, because he didn't lose his power when
the god left.
Yeah.
When the gods got shut.
Yeah.
I know.
Yeah.
So.
And then the biggest question about Lorcan. What did he do? And so Lorcan did.
That's one of
Serenity Mass's biggest crimes.
Yeah.
For that crime.
Yeah, she has to answer for that. Like, has she ever been like, you know, I'll hold my hands up and say, like, I done fucked up on that? Like,
did she write that scene when she was 16? Because fair, but like.
The missing scenes, there's a ACOTAR one that I know that she wrote that was from the book. A silver
that
flame
one, jail for her.
Where is that? Where is the written out scene of what Lorcan did?
Like, how are you just gonna create one of the, like, most fun will they won't they storylines?
They're such a good couple.
And then just say, and so Lorcan did.
Yeah.
Like, that's so fake of her. She needs, like, public ridicule for this. Like, we need to, like, citizen's arrest.
Yeah.
And sit her down in front of a computer and say, "You write better write."
Just have you read any, like, fanfic of the scene?
No,
I haven't
not
either.
Not that one specifically.
But apparently, it's really good. There's a lot of really good stuff out there, so I might.
Yeah, I bet because there's such a good building of tension. There's such a good, like, enemies to lovers. There's such a good, like. Oh God, I love when, like, it's kind of giving a little bit like. Yes. Yeah. And then, Lorcan is watching Aleed, like, act, like, in all these different ways and, like, use the fact that people underestimate her or use the fact that, like, people just see what they want to see and, like, don't look further. And he's like, holy shit, she's so fucking smart. And the fact that he sees that and he gets it and that wins him over, like, that is so good. And all of that builds to such good tension.
Sexual tension.
And he's fighting it so hard because he's like, I can't possibly fall in love with this human. Like, I can't possibly do that. Like, that's silly. And also, like, I am, like, the god of death. Like, I don't deserve this. Like, Maeve has treated me like shit. Like,
and he's never folded. You know what I mean? Like, the rest of the cadre is like, Lorcan never would, like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, I have no doubts that the fanfic is good because all of the things that you need, like, the foreplay's right there. Yeah. All you have to do is just bring it home.
Yeah, it's like
when you say, I'm almost there, I'm almost there, and then they switch it up. And then it's ruined.
I couldn't possibly know what you're talking about. I couldn't possibly know what you're talking about.
Like, Sarah did a switch up on us.
She did a switch up, and it's like, okay. Well, now it's gone.
And now it's gone.
Now it's gone. Now, starting from square one.
Yeah.
Gonna have to take things into my own hands, aka fanfic. Exactly. Okay. I want to get into a discussion about the witches because.
Please.
What a fun addition to this story.
Did you, when you were starting to read about Manon, Manon, and the witches, whatever, were you, like, excited by her point of view? Because a lot of people that I talk to are like, fuck this bitch, like, I don't care about this.
Yeah.
I was along those lines at first because I was like, so it came seemingly out of nowhere.
Yeah.
And I think that was the hard thing was like, and it was the first chapter of the book.
Yeah.
Right? Like, I think it was, like, new book started with that. And I think I was kind of taken aback, especially after reading ACOTAR and having Silver Flames, like, switch to being like, with Nesta. And so I started reading it and I was like, please don't tell me that, like, I'm not going to hear about Aelin anymore in like this whole book. Yeah. Like, I think it was just kind of like out of nowhere and I didn't really know where it was going. So I think for a couple chapters, I was like, I don't really care about this because like nothing really happened to get me invested. But then after a while, I was like, okay, these are some of my favorite chapters. Like, I really like it. I just think that it wasn't like built up enough.
Yeah.
For it to like make sense to me right away.
Yeah.
I think because I had seen fanfic and like cosplayers as her, I was like, who is this? She's so hot. She's so cool. Like, I need to know her deal. So I was like already kind of in on that. Mm-hmm. And then I think like when it starts out, she just like kills all those human men, right? Yeah. In like the first chapter that we meet her. And I think I realized pretty early on, I think that we're going to watch this character go on like this redemption arc. And I live, I don't know if it's the therapist in me, but I'm like, I live for like a redemption arc. I live for a story of like this horrible character who's done all these evil things, and we're gonna watch them like become soft, and we're gonna watch them like learn to care about the people around them and like actually use their powers for good. So I think I was just always like, I'm all in on this. Mm-hmm. And then I just, yeah, I love the witches, and I love their like matriarchal society, and I was like pretty all in on them, but I do get how it just pulled, again, it's like another thing that kind of pulls you out of the main storyline.
Yeah. And I feel like sometimes people's argument against Throne of Glass is like, there's too much happening. And like, I'll agree. Like, I feel like there's a lot going on. Like,
there's a lot of characters, a lot of like groups of people.
Yes.
And like, it's totally fair, but I ate up all of them.
Yeah.
And like, 100%. I loved the witches. And like, I loved just the 13 and like the Weirvins and like
the Weirvins.
I'm sorry. What?
Wyverns? Wyverns?
Yeah.
I call them Wyverns, but also Wyvern. The Weirvins. That was incredible.
The Wyverns.
Okay, sorry.
That's okay. I'm sorry. We should have gone over that at the beginning when we talked
about it. I needed a second to process that. Okay, sorry. Okay.
What is our consensus in how we're saying it?
Wyvern?
Wyverns?
I said Wyvern.
She's going to look it up.
Siri, how do you pronounce Wyvern?
What?
Here's what I found.
No, that's Weaver. Hold on.
She doesn't know what you're talking about because it's not Weirvin.
It's also not real.
Okay, hold on.
We got to audible. We got to get up audible really quick and just play one word.
Wyvern.
Yeah. I was right.
Right.
Okay, Wyvern.
Because those are like established, like dragons. Those are like established, kind of mythical creatures.
Okay, I don't remember what I was even talking about.
But when they pick all the wyvern, and then what's her name, Petra Bluebud and Keely. First of all, it's hysterical that she names it Keely. I'm like, okay, what an absolute Ted Lasso ass name. Like, I'm like, I can't not think of Keely Jones. I just like picture this wyvern with like a pink bow on its head. Screaming. I'm like this like ruthless witch. But I did really like the wyverns and their relationships with them and like that society and like the different clans of Iron Teeth witches. And I wanted to know more about them. Like, I wanted to know more about the Blue Bloods. Like, they remind me of things from other series of hers, but I wanted to know more about like their history and the yellow legs. I'm like, why are their legs just like yellow? Like, I just like, I want to know. Again, I needed someone in this series to like have done research into the witches and like be go on a research quest. But
I would love for Sarah J. Maas to write a series where her main character is a witch, because I feel like she loves to write about them, but the main characters are never like straight up witches. And if she had really gone into like all of the members of the 13 and we had gotten like all of their stories and like all of their stuff, like I would have just been gobbling that up. It would have been, I would have been all in on that.
Yeah. But I think the 13 was one of my favorite storylines.
Yes.
And like, I loved, because even before they all went on this like healing journey of like self-love and like caring mm-hmm. about others, like you could tell that they were primed for it because like their relationship was just like so yes. strong. And yeah. like they were this unit that was that kind of transcended just being like a military unit. Like they cared about yeah. each other, but I don't even think they knew that they cared about each other.
Yes. Like yes.
I'm like, yes, that feeling you're feeling is love yeah. and friendship. And you think it's just like loyalty, but like that's actually love and friendship and respect. Yeah. And so like, welcome to the world of empathy. Yeah. But like, and then what was it? Her right hand having that child.
Aaron, yes.
And then, oh my God, that whole thing was like yes. heartbreaking.
Yes. Well, I just love, okay, we got to talk about the yielding.
No, I don't know if I can, guys. I told you I just got on my period yesterday. Like, the I can.
The yielding destroyed me. And especially totally. When they were like, Liv, Manon, like, I was like, I'm so unwell. I'm no, so
I...
unwell. Like, Sarah did not have to do us like that.
Yeah.
Like,
and they all just wanted to go home. And they were like, yeah. this is like the only way that the witches will be able to go home.
Yeah.
Like,
it. Quite literally destroyed me because they like she couldn't fly, like she couldn't get there, and I just literally had to put the book down for a little bit because I was just like, I'm like, I don't know what to do with myself. I'm just sobbing, like I am a mess. I can't even read anymore. I like had to take like a mental health break.
Like they know that she's the queen, like they know that she's the only one who's gonna be able to like save their culture, their people, and like their selfless love for her is just like so, so incredible.
Yeah. And like she doesn't always feel like, I don't think she always felt like she like deserved it, you know? Yeah, she's like yeah. I deserve their loyalty, but they're like all they was more than loyalty, they loved me, and she's yeah. like, I don't even know if I like deserved that.
Yeah.
Do you guys think that the witches really make it back to their homeland and have it thrive?
Yeah, I do.
So, do you think that Manon and Dorian like co-lead because they go their separate ways at the end? But then all everyone's like, "You guys, you know, you can like visit each other," and they're like, oh, "I don't know."
That gutted me. And have you ever seen like fan fiction of or like the fan art of
him,
like
him dying and her and the kid at the funeral? Yeah, of course, it's gut wrenching.
What the fuck? Like, why would you do that? Why would you sit down and spend hours drawing that? Why would you do that?
Well, is it safe to assume that Dorian could settle?
I don't know. Because where does his power comes from something else.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, he's not Fae. His power is kind of its own
but
thing.
The demi Fae can settle.
But he's not demi Fae.
Yeah, where does his magic
His
come
magic
from?
Is its like its own separate thing. So I don't know. I don't know.
Like, do we think that they live happily ever after forever and ever?
Do
and
I
ever?
Think that? Yeah, because I'm delusional, but do I in my logical brain think that?
Oh, it's really giving Lord of the Rings. It's giving Aragorn yes. and what's yes. her face.
Yes. Yes. But I
I'm sad.
don't I'm necessarily sad. Want I don't want her to have to give up
yeah.
her immortality. I want to find a way so that he can
yeah.
live for a
Because Lorcan gives up his immortality, right?
Right.
No, I don't think so.
Yeah.
I think, is
yeah.
it? Is that it?
Yeah. Lorcan gives up his immortality because he says this thing about, like, he's like, when we get married, I'm going to, like, bind my life to yours. Like, and, like, when you die, like, I'm going to die too kind of thing.
Yeah.
Like I thought it was the other way around. I thought he allowed her to live longer with him.
No, I think he has now like a mortal.
Got it.
Which feels right for them.
Yeah.
Dorian and Manon, it doesn't feel right, true or in character or right for them.
Yeah.
For her to give that up for him.
Yeah.
Like that doesn't yeah. feel right for their characters.
And so do we think that Aelin was allowed to settle even though she didn't have powers anymore?
She has powers. She just doesn't have the, like,
depth
that she had before. But I think that
Because she we never settle. Really get an answer on whether she settles. Because
I thought she did at the end.
I don't think so.
I feel like when she gets like coronated, they say something about like her settling and
hold on.
Or I don't know, is it?
It doesn't say.
When she goes into the witch mirror and she like sees their family, like something. I don't know. I think that it's like pretty safe to assume that Aelin settles though and like lives a very long fey lifeline.
Yeah.
Okay, hold on. It says, you guys know how when Aelin forged the lock, it took away her mortal form. Would that mean she still goes through the settling even though she's immortal? So is she immortal?
Yeah.
Okay, she's immortal.
So maybe she doesn't even like settle. She just like is
immortal. She doesn't need to anymore.
She's just like full fey and is immortal now. She's not like a demi-fey that needs to settle.
Yeah. I want to get into some final closing thoughts. This is going to take a while, so don't think this is ending right now. But I want to go through some theories, some thoughts, some more like open-ended things, similar to what we're talking about. First one here. Where the fuck is Dorian's mom and brother?
Incredible question.
We don't meet them once. Or do we? I think they come to the castle once, but then they're sent away, and I'm just like, where are they at with this? Where
are they? What's going on?
Yeah, I think that's none of our business anymore. I think...
Do we think that's just, like, unimportant, or do you think that they're gone for, like, a reason?
No, I think it's just not important.
Yeah. Okay.
I don't think Sarah has secondary, like
motivation.
Okay.
No ulterior motives with that.
I am sure that there's some fan out there that has some elaborate, like, crackpot theory about where they are and, like, power to you. But I think ultimately that is just.
I forgot he even had a brother. Like, I forgot.
Just like, that. He's like, I can't die because I don't want Holland to become the king because he's a psycho.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's a little
Well, let's talk about Aelin giving up her magic since we were just kind of on that in terms of did she settle? Do we think that, like, basically it's all gone? Or, like, what can she – because she's could only really, like, sum up, like, basically lighting her sword on fire so it, like, looked like something bigger. But do we think that she ever, like – got anything back? Do we think that she just like from there was probably like a pretty peaceful world and she didn't really need the depth of her power anymore?
I like to believe that she gave up everything so that it could be could live kind of like a peaceful life. So I hope she doesn't need that depth of power to kind of live a happy life with Rowan. But who's to say if that is how it's going to be forever?
I know it's a tough question. Yeah. Tough question to
know. Yeah, I really hate that part.
Mm-hmm.
I just hate
the idea. It made me so mad.
Giving up her power.
Other character coded.
Yes. Very other character coded. Very just frustrating. And I do appreciate that, like, she made this huge sacrifice, and, like, of course she's going to do it because that is so Aelin to, like, sacrifice for everybody else and to give it up for everyone else. But I don't think she, as of the end of Throne of Glass or the end of her storyline, gets it back. And I think that's really devastating.
Yeah.
She has, enough to, like, light a candle, light a little fire, light her sword on fire, but not the way that she used to.
Yeah, that was, I think, one of my most disappointing moments of the series. I was just like, I don't know. I'm like so irrationally upset about the fact I was like waiting for like a loophole to show up and be like, surprise, she actually has all of her power still. And it just didn't come. And I was really upset about it.
Yeah.
Another thing that I think is interesting, because I think we talk about this a lot, Nicole, and we talked about this in ACTAR, but Sarah J. Maas does not do things by accident. Like, nothing that she's like writing is ever like just like a throwaway thing, and I don't think she really brings in characters for no reason. Which is the only reason that I'm like, something I think that there's something with the mom and the brother, just because I'm like, I just feel like she doesn't bring side characters in for no
reason. That's a fair point.
she would have just had him, like, not have a brother. Or, I mean, I don't know. I mean, it could be as simple as it was the motivation for him to want to be king because he, like, is noble and didn't want his brother to become king. But, like, I don't know. But there's a character that is very widely talked about and discussed amongst the fans that I want us to talk about, and that's Vaughn. Because Vaughn is part of the cadre, but Vaughn does not show up. And there is just, like,
we know nothing about Vaughn.
And it's...
Where
is he? What's he doing? What is his vibe? And, like, why include him?
Yeah.
It's tough because, like, like we talked about, this series is over for all we know.
Right.
But, like, why bring him up?
Yeah.
Why not have the cadre just be the ones that are there? Like, why bring him up? It's, like, so – it eats at me all the time because I'm like, who is this person and why bring him up?
Why is he? Where is
also, he? Also, he's clearly bad at his job because he was sent out to find Lorcan.
Yes.
And
you didn't even get close. And it's not like Lorcan is at the far end of the earth. He's, like, in the mix. He's, like, in the action.
He's literally right there.
He's in kind of major cities. Like, So when I think about it logically, I'm thinking, like, okay, so she writes this character. Maybe she has this purpose for him that then shifts or whatever. But I'm like, why not then, if you're like, oh, this character is irrelevant, I'm not going to do anything with it, why not, like, have him just come join the battle at the last second? Yeah. And, like, he could die with Gavriel.
Right.
You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, there are so many other – if she brought him in and then realized she didn't need him, there are still so many other ways that she could have wrapped up his story. And I completely agree with you that she is so intentional that I'm like, I don't – it does make me suspicious that we never heard from him.
Yeah. Does he show up at you know how when the cadre shows up in Air of Fire when the whatever it's called is on fire?
I don't think he does.
Because Lorcan shows up, right? It's Lorcan, Fenris, Connell.
I don't know if all of them come.
Gavriel?
No, I think it's just like it might just be Lorcan, Fenris, and Gavriel. I don't think
Air of Fire. Oh yeah, so he does. He arrives in his avian form. But he doesn't like stop to help her. Obviously none of them did.
Right.
And then that's like the only mention of him is that he shows up there and then he helps but is gone, cuz then he's not there when Maeve meets with Aelin. And then he doesn't appear in Empire of Storms. And then he does not appear in Kingdom of Ash. So,
Yeah, so we no one has eyes on Vaughn.
Yeah, it's literally the physical description is not much is known about Vaughn's appearance other than he has dark eyes and dark hair. His animal form is a massive osprey with great wings. That's it. That's all we know.
I just, it's really hard for me to believe that she just like phoned it in and forgot about him.
Mentions him in every book. Most of the book he's mentioned. And so I'm like,
right.
Yeah, because they're at one point, like towards the end, they're still like, well, Vaughn's still out there searching for Lorcan.
Right.
But is he?
Well, clearly not.
But I think they start to think like maybe at one point, because I was just reading his like wiki, at one point they say, they wonder if he's staying away for a reason.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So there's like, she leaves this open end of mystery.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or like, why not have him send a letter or something and be like, hey, like, I decided to defect from Maeve also. Like, I'm staying in.
Just a quick postcard from Vaughn.
Yeah.
Wish you were here.
I don't know. I think that the fact that she leaves it open-ended makes me think that there's something more there,
mm-hmm.
only because there were so many other ways that she could have resolved it if this was a character she had plans for that she had to pivot away from.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I hear you. My mom's working. Maybe we'll get into that in the last episode of the series.
Yeah. So our final question is, were you happy with the ending of Kingdom of Ash, and what was the one thing you would change if you could? I think we all kind of agree that one thing we would change is the alien doesn't live up all of her magic.
Yeah. Well, I guess because Dorian doesn't have any magic either, because he gave his up. They both did, right?
Mm-mm.
Or she shoves him out?
No, she shoves him out.
Which I don't understand why they both couldn't, like,
yeah,
do it. Like, that's, that both... part of me is, that's, like, what it bothers me, where I was like, they both easily could have given up
yeah
what they needed to give up to yeah. solve this problem. And yeah. it had been brought up as a solution already, so, right. like, I don't understand why this is, like, an right. issue.
Right.
But it also didn't make sense in terms of the prophecy, why they... when they said that it was only going to be one person, how it ended up being two. That's mm-hmm. kind of like where it really doesn't make mm-hmm. sense to me either. But I mean, overall, I think the ending was very satisfying. I don't have yeah. too much to complain about. Like,
yeah.
I think she got done what needed to get done.
Yeah.
And she didn't have to die in the process.
Yeah. And like, I think that obviously, like, are there things that I would change in terms of, like, you know, the 13 not dying or like mm-hmm. whatever, but obviously that wouldn't feel realistic, mm-hmm. right? Like,
yeah.
some characters are gonna have to die in this like major war, so all of that felt very true,
which unlike other some of her other series where no one ever dies,
right? Right, like I feel like if no one ever died, I would not feel as invested or feel
Gabrielle's
like this is
death really hit me hard.
Yes,
that,
that was gutting.
Yeah.
So tough.
I think I would have liked Gabrielle to stay alive to like actually build a relationship with
yeah.
Adian. Like I would have
yeah,
liked
me too.
That.
Yeah.
Me too.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think it was just like such a well-rounded series. Like it it just like started and ended like so well.
Yeah.
I feel like there were very few questions.
You know
left
what my one answer. Gripe with this is that all of this happened in 8 months.
Yes.
Oh,
yes.
Yeah.
The timing is. What was the reason for that? I don't understand that. I
no.
actually don't get why. And they comment on it multiple times. And I'm like, why would you force it into that? It doesn't make sense that all of that would have happened. The travel alone.
The travel alone.
On horses and boats. There's no fucking shot.
No.
And this is all happening in a world, too.
Yeah.
Like, they couldn't have done that getting around on horses and boats. Just if even if it was just only taking place in like the United States,
yeah.
like it just doesn't add up.
It's not adding up.
The math does not math.
No,
up.
And
no.
you know what? My second
and like armies,
yeah.
full armies.
Yeah, my second gripe actually is that Rowan and Aelin are distant cousins. That did not need to be a thing at all.
What
like,
was the reason
she didn't have to do
what
that?
What was the reason
that was like
that is the one thing that Sarah J. Maas loves to do is she loves to make everyone. Somewhat related.
Like I'm like you
and,
just really
and it didn't have to be
it didn't
that
like
way.
You created this world, like you created these characters, like you actually didn't have to make them related at all because that like part of the story didn't matter at
no,
all. Actually,
no.
It actually didn't.
So that's kind of two things that I would change personally about the story.
Yeah. Yeah, I have questions about that. As well.
Yeah, it was just like 8 months. It's the Twilight situation where I'm like, oh, Bella and Edward fall in love in 6 months and then get married. Like this is all moving so quickly.
And it just doesn't make sense why.
Yeah.
You know what I
yeah.
mean?
Yeah.
Like there was no reason it had to be one year.
No.
Yeah.
Not even.
No.
Yeah.
Anything on your end?
No, you covered all of it.
Oh,
you
perfect.
Really fucking
sorry.
Nailed it.
I had a final
nailed it with that
moment of.
It's been a bit. I've been back on my Crescent City shit, so it's been a bit since I really thought about Throne of Glass. So I didn't even remember those things.
This is not to do with the ending, but we haven't talked about Nehemia at all.
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah.
I have some gripes with. The way that her death is set up kind of overtly as motivation for Aelin Selena to like turn back to the, like turn to the rebel side.
Yeah.
Like I just,
I don't, yeah.
I think that is fucked up and I don't like, I think it's very not chill that you took like one of your only people of color characters in this entire series. And you're like, you have to die. And your whole purpose is for you to die so that this character can finally like grow into who they were meant to be.
Yeah.
And also just fucking gutted that she was killed, in such a brutal way.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
What the fuck?
Yeah.
Like, So I, that's just a general gripe that I have with the series.
Yeah.
And I think, like, ultimately I am okay. Like, I get that, like, her dying is just another layer of, like, all the shit that Aelin's been through and, like, that she was so isolated. But, yeah, I had some issues with that.
Yeah.
Yeah. I also, the other person we didn't talk about is Cultaine.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
And that's, I personally wish we got way 10,000
characters.
Yes.
What?
The problem with this series is 10,000 characters.
So many characters. I know. I think Nick's going to really like the series, but he's going to struggle with the characters. He's already, like, doesn't know all the characters in Crescent City. He's like, there's so many people. And I'm like, just wait. Until you get to the Throne of God. Like, you're going to need an index. But she, I wish we got more about her / from her.
Mm-hmm.
Because I feel like that was a really cool, interesting part of the book.
Yeah.
And, like, then, like, looking back and being like, oh, she was kind of being possessed by Duke Parrington to, like, do all those things. And that's why she had all this. But, like, I wanted, like, more about it because I felt like it was, like, very cool.
And that Aelin giving her cloak was this, like, turning point moment for her.
Yeah.
And I love, like her connection to Cultaine in that way, her connection to Irene, right? Mm-hmm. Like, that these choices that you make to help somebody and kind of this butterfly effect, like this one thing that you do that you don't expect to help down the line ends up being a crucial choice. Yeah. I think is really cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I love that. And then all Cultaine's powers too, I think, are really interesting, and I'd love to dive more into the symbolism of her kind of smoking.
Here's what I would love from Sarah J. Maas as her next project.
Yeah.
I would love for her to go George R. R. Martin and just, like, write some books of the history of these worlds. Like,
there is supposed to be one. There is supposed to be.
Really?
It's called World of Throne of Glass, but it got scrapped. It got tabled for reasons that we can get into another episode.
Yeah, I just am like, I want Lord of the Rings style, like, histories of these different worlds in all of these series, because, like, you can go online and read about the world of Lord of the Rings as if it was, like, a legitimate, like, you could take a history class on that world, and, like, that's what I want about all of these worlds, like, so badly.
100%.
Okay, any final closing thoughts on Throne of Glass before we wrap this up? I feel like we hit a lot of things. Obviously, the series is so long and so in-depth, like, we couldn't hit everything, but I feel like we hit the things that I really wanted to.
Do we think it's ever going to be made into, like, a show or a movie? Because I know it was, like, option, but then it, like, kind of lapsed, and now I think, like, the ACOTAR is more at the forefront of people's minds.
Yeah.
It would be such an incredible show.
It would be. It would be so good. I think it would be better than ACOTAR as a show.
Agreed.
I agree too.
There's just more happening, and there's more happening in kind of this, like, in a way that I think would be visually very entertaining. Versus ACOTAR, a lot of the things that are happening, it feels like it wouldn't be as entertaining to watch that as it is to read it.
Which I also think that, like, in a show, can you imagine Empire of Storms, Tower of Dawn, instead of a tandem read, but, like, in a show, you could actually put those two together?
Yes.
And that would be so exciting to watch.
And I think the thing that I loved about Game of Thrones, which is, like, another fantasy series where you have a shit ton of characters and all these plot lines going on, is that everything is kind of simmering. And then you check back and you get a little more on this, you get a little more on this. And then at the end, when it all comes together, it is so satisfying because you feel like you've earned it. Because you're like, I went on this journey with these characters. Yeah. You know, like, I watched them, like, this took time. It didn't happen in 3 episodes. So it feels so satisfying when you get to the end.
Yes.
And you're like, oh, yeah, like, I watched this person go through this whole thing.
Yeah.
And because, like, you're right. It's so similar to Game of Thrones because there's so many different, like, offshoots, and like, you know, like all the Stark siblings have their own journeys, and I feel like that's all the different characters in Throne of Glass. So you have like the witches, and you have like Selene, and you have Cole, and you have like all these different people. And I feel like by the end, like similar to Game of Thrones, it feels like such a crossover episode when everyone is together finally. I feel like it would just be so good.
Like, you'd be so hyped for the first time. You'd spend all this time getting to know Manon and Aelin, and then when you they finally are in the same scene together, you're like,
hyped. Yeah.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So I think that could be so fun.
Need it. Like, need it.
Yeah.
Anyways. We can dream.
Always.
A girl can dream.
Always.
Sam, thank you for joining us for this. This was...
We had fun.
So fun.
So fun.
I mean, we could talk about this forever, so...
Easily.
And we will.
And we just will.
Yeah. So the next episode that will be coming out is all about Crescent City. And then a big wrap up, a big multiverse, full Sarah J. Maas recap. So,
well, girls,
thanks everyone for listening. We'll see you on the next offshoot episode about Crescent City. Thanks, Sam.
Bye.
Bye.